So inasmuch as we're in the, you know, not the final stretch, but in a few weeks before Pesach, I want to speak about some halachas of Hagal of Kashrin Kalim. So first of all, oftentimes I get a shayla from a lady in the neighborhood, and she says, I took my spatula or plastic ladle, and I stuck it, the milchiks and the fleshes, the this and the this. And usually at the end of that sentence, when it's involving a plastic spatula, she says, well, it's plastic, so I can't kasher it anyway, right? So the poskim discuss if plastic could be kashered, and the poskim do assume that even though plastic is synthetic, even though plastic was not around when the Torah taught us about Hagala and immersing kalim in boiling water in order to be makshir them, nevertheless, the poskim do assume that plastic can be kashered in Hagala. So if you did stick the milchika spatula or the milchika ladle that's plastic into the chicken soup, yes, you can kasher it by immersing it in a pot of boiling water. That being the case, when it comes to Pesach, we're a little bit more machmir. And therefore, when it comes to Pesach, we are not makel. This is a machlokes, but many poskim are not makel to be machshir plastic to make a kasher of Pesach. So therefore, what's the most common nafkamina of this shayla? The most common shayla regarding this is microwaves. I'm not talking about an enamel-plated microwave where the inside is plated with enamel. That you can't kasher enamel. Ceramic cannot be kashered. However, most microwaves have an interior of plastic. So if a person would mess up, they have a milch, let's say they fachreif their microwave during the year. So we'll talk about how to kasher in a moment, but it might be kasherable because the inside is plastic. We will be machshir plastic. However, when it comes to Pesach, it would be proper to not be machshir a microwave for Pesach. There are rare exceptions that somebody says, my mother-in-law is in a nursing home, and the only food that she could have is she warms it up in a microwave. Other than that, she won't have any hot food. Something like that, we'll rely on the poskim hor makel. But under normal circumstances where you could get by with 2-3 days of, this week is 4 days, you could get by with Chol HaMoed, even if you're going away for Pesach, you could figure something out for 2-3 days of Chol HaMoed without using having to rely on kashering the plastic microwave. It's better to avoid kashering a plastic microwave because, again, it's not such a big tzorech that we have for doing so. It's not worth relying on those opinions that are permitted for the minimal tzorech that most of find ourselves in. A lot of people go to a hotel for a night or two during Chol HaMoed and they want to have warm food. Okay, so you won't have food warmed in the microwave. You'll probably... If you double bag it, that could be okay. Let me just think this out. That's a very good point. Whenever I'm in a place where there's a non-kosher microwave during the year, I certainly double bag something, even in a treif microwave, even in a dirty treif microwave, that would work. So presumably on Pesach, that probably would work. I don't want to say on the spot I'm certain, but I think that sounds like it would be a solution. Thank you. That sounds like it would work. Thank you. That is correct, I believe. Right, but the steam from the food that you boil in the microwave is steam that would absorb itself into the body. That's a good question. Typically, one of the rules when it comes to Hagala, when it comes to kashering, is that any place where there are small holes is something that we will not rely on Hagala. I got a shayla 2 days ago where somebody had a kli, whatever the kli was, that had small holes in it. And we were talking about kashering. Once she was describing it to me, I said, can you please send me a picture? Once I saw the small holes, I said, it was a cheap kli, so I said, it's not going to be kasherable, because if you put it in fire, it'll just be destroyed. And with Hagala, we don't kasher with Hagala by immersing in hot water anything that has small holes. And the reason for that is that Hagala only works, putting something in boiling water only works if there's no food there. It only takes out the flavor that was absorbed in the walls of the kli. So therefore, if something's totally clean, but it just has absorbed flavor, the taste, the blios, the tam of iser or chametz, so then the Hagala could, just like the flavor went into the walls, the Hagala could suck the flavor and purge the flavor out of the walls. However, hold on 1 second. However, if there's ever anything be'en, if there's any physical extant material, then Hagolah never works. So therefore, the prerequisite in order to do any Hagolah on any kli is that it can't have any be'en, any mamashes, any stuff there. It has to be totally clean and not been used for 24 hours. Then Hagolah could work. So therefore, the poskim say, the Shulchan Aruch says, that any time that there's a kli that has holes, a strainer, a colander, and you're raising the point that the ceiling of a microwave should theoretically have that possible problem because the food might get stuck in those holes that you can't clean that out. And if you can't clean it out, that should be a problem. So that's a good point. I don't have an answer for you right now. One last thing to keep in mind is, of course, the rule that the Torah teaches us for kasher and kelim is anything that was heated in flame has to be kashered by flame. Anything that was heated in water is kashered by water. I want to clarify one point. Frying pans. If you fry, this often happens, if you have a fleishka frying pan and you make your eggs and cheese and you didn't realize it was the fleishka frying pan, it's a very common shaila. So you'd say, oh, so when I kasher, I'll put it into boiling water and that should be good, right? Wrong. Because a frying pan is considered the dry heat. It's not like boiling noodles in a pot where the water is the medium between the noodles and the pot. But rather here, the egg and cheese is being absorbed directly into the body of the pan through dry heat. And therefore, that would be something that would warrant not Hagalah, not immersing in hot water, boiling water, but rather a flame, libun. And libun, if you use either a fire or if you put it in yourself, clean oven, which is perfect libun, that works if you have a stainless steel utensil. However, many of our frying pans are Teflon coated, and if you would put fire onto that or put it in a self-clean oven, that would destroy the Teflon and probably release cancer-causing chemicals into the foods that would be subsequently eaten after that, because the Teflon is plastic and you're destroying the plastic and it's a polymer. So without getting into the science, because I don't know the science, but that would be it would destroy the Teflon. Therefore, anything that's Teflon and it's a frying pan, often it's not able to be kashered at all. So one of the most common things that have to be thrown out in the kosher kitchen is indeed Teflon-covered frying pans. If you have a shayla lemaisa, so there are a lot of other details, so you always ask the shayla. I'd like to speak a little bit about Heksher Kalim in preparation for Pesach Abba Latova. So, of course, the main rule in Heksher Kalim, we'll talk about some exceptions, but the main rule in Heksher Kalim is Kibolo Kach Polto. In the same way that whatever the chametz, the treif, the milk, these places that you want to get that's causing a problem, the same way that it was absorbed into the kli is the way you purge it and remove it out of the kli. So, something, as the Pasuk in the Chumash says, by Mechametz Medyon, if something was absorbed into the kli through hot water, you get it out by Hagala, boiling water. If something was absorbed like a grill on a barbecue through heat, through dry heat, through a flame, so of course you purge it by Libun with a flame as well. Now, there's one very interesting halacha when it comes to Heksher Kalim, which is the following. Typically, in order for flavor from something that's treif, from milchiks to be absorbed into a fleishka kli, or something fleishiks to be absorbed into a milchik kli, in order for that absorption to occur from the food into the kli that we're talking about, it has to be a certain amount of heat. For example, a kli rishon, something that's on the flame, or something that was off the flame. So if you take a milchka spoon and you stir your chicken soup in the pot, it becomes a treif spoon, because it absorbs the chicken flavor, and it has milk absorbed previously, so that's going to be a treif spoon. However, let's say you take your chicken soup and you put it into a bowl. That bowl is already not a kli rishon anymore. It's only a kli sheni. If you count the ladle, then it's a kli shlishi, but either way, it's not a kli rishon. Now, let's say you now go to your silverware drawer, you take a milchka spoon, and you eat your soup from your bowl, which is the normal way to eat soup, from the bowl. So is that milchka spoon going into a kli sheni? Kli sheni is not so hot. So that milchka spoon is not treif, it's kosher. Why? Because the heat that is pushing this chicken soup into the milchka spoon is not enough heat to inject, to insert the chicken soup flavor into the milchka spoon. Now, that is the halacha. So if you would call me and say, Rabbi Orlin, or your wife would call me and say, Rabbi Orlin, and I mix the chicken soup with the milk spoon, I say it's treif. If you say, I ate my chicken soup with the milk spoon, I'd say it's kosher. Now, when it comes to Pesach, there's an interesting chumrah that we find. We find that even those items that absorbed chametz in a kli sheni still need to be koshered. Let me say that again, because that's a very big chiddush. If you have a barley soup, and you take a Pesach tikka spoon and stir the soup in the pot, of course it's chametz. But not only that, if you have a barley soup that's taken out of the pot and put into a bowl, which is now kli sheni or kli shlishi, and you take your Pesach tikka spoon and eat the barley soup from the bowl, theoretically that bowl is a kli sheni and shouldn't have enough heat, shouldn't have enough energy, heat energy, to push the barley, the chametz flavor, into that spoon. Nevertheless, when it comes to chametz, we would be obligated to kasher that spoon, not like basar b'chalav, not like iser. When it comes to Pesach, we would have to kasher that spoon, l'chatchila, at least. And therefore, something is used with a kli sheni. So why am I telling you this? Because there are some utensils in our house that are always used with a kli sheni and are never used with a kli sheni. For example, a teaspoon. A teaspoon should never really be able to become chametz stick or treif. Because no one stirs a teaspoon in a pot of soup. No one stirs, you know, if you're having coffee, your coffee is always already in your coffee mug. Coffee mug is already not a kli rishon anymore. So even if you have a fleishka teaspoon, and you're putting in your coffee with milk, your coffee mug is a kli sheni. At best, let's say your urn, your pump pot, or your hot water urn, or your instant hot is the kli rishon. And then it spills into your mug, that's a kli sheni. Kli sheni should not have the ability to inject the milk flavor into that fleishka teaspoon. So that teaspoon is going to be kosher. That is correct, you're right. If you had a milky spoon or milky cup that already had the milk in, and you're adding more hot water to your coffee, you're right. In that case, I'm wrong and you'd be correct. That then there would be iri kli rishon from the pot or from the pump pot from the urn. That's correct. But if you don't drink like that, if you just fill your cup and then you stir with your spoon, then it should never require kashering. However, when it comes to Pesach, you do have to be machshir even teaspoons. Because before tonight, you would have thought, I don't know if you would have thought, but before I'm telling you this, teaspoons should never have to be kosher Pesach because teaspoons never absorb chametz because you never put them in a kli rishon, in a pot itself. And now I'm telling you that no, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, at least l'chatchila, and says you do have to kasher even those items that never go into a kli rishon. One other common scenario where this could come up is klei shtia, glasses, or let's talk about metal cups. Again, like a kos. Metal cups, theoretically, you should not have to kosher a kos. If you have a silver gavia, a silver kos, silver becher. So theoretically, it was never used with hot. There's no reason why you should have to kosher for Pesach. Nevertheless, the minhag is that we're machmir, and when it comes to Pesach, we're machmir. We do require koshering even kosos because we're worried maybe you rinsed it with hot water once and there was some chametz in it, like some whiskey in it. Or maybe some crumbs in it, and the crumbs waited there for a long enough period of time, 24 hours, that the crumbs could be absorbed into the wall. So therefore, machmir to kasher, even silver bechers, theoretically you shouldn't have to, but when it comes to Pesach, we are machmir, we do kasher, even silver bechers. Welcome back to all those who recently arrived from Eretz Yisrael. Nice to have you back. I want to continue. We spoke last week about some halachas of kasher and kelim, of hechsher kelim, hagala and the like. I want to just point out a few interesting halachas. One of the common shilas is if a person wants to kasher something that's metal, let's say, the most common situation that I think happens in everybody's house, if you have stainless steel sinks, you want to kasher your sink, so you pour hot water and that kashers the sink if it has been used for 24 hours. But on the bottom of your sink, you have a drain. The drain looks like a circle with a lot of little dots in it. The halacha is that something that has a lot of little dots in it, something that has small openings, is not supposed to be kashered. and I'll explain why. In general, Hag'ala, when you put something in boiling water, if you pour boiling water on something, that which it kashers only has the ability to kasher to take out the flavor that has been absorbed in. It doesn't have the ability to destroy or to kasher the residue that's sitting on the kli. It can only kasher the flavor that's absorbed into the kli. So whenever you have small holes, we're always worried that between all the small holes, there could be a tiny bit of residue that's still trapped or found inside those holes. And therefore, Hag'ala, which again doesn't help for physical residue, it only helps for the flavor absorbed into the walls of the kli, into the body of the kli, but doesn't work for residue. When you have something that has small holes, the classic example that the post can speak about is a ribeisen. What's made the ribeisen? A grater. That's what the lashon that the achronim use for a grater. A grater is the classical example of this. You have a grater that has very small holes, and it's your chametz sticker grater, or it's milch. You grate your parmesan cheese on it, for example, and you want to make it pariv again, or you grate some. I don't know what you grate. That's chametz stick, and you want to now use it for Pesach. You want to use it for your charoses or for your maror. So that rib eisen, this grater, this is the example that the Achronim give for that is something that Hag'ala will not work for. You can't just immerse it in boiling water because we're worried that in all those, you know, those many, many, many holes that are there, they're small, something could be caught there, you're not going to notice it, and therefore the poskim say you can't really kasher such an item. Similarly, something that has a crack, we're also worried about the same thing. Let's say you have a butcher block countertops. At some point they were in style. Instead of countertops that are marble or granite or formica, there was a certain point in time that was just solid wood. So theoretically, wood, you can kasher wood with Hag'ala. Pour boiling water on your granite, on your marble, on your formica. Formica, I don't remember if you could kasher. But plastic? I don't remember. I'm not sure. Okay. But your wood, theoretically, Hag'ala does work for wood. You can kasher wood. However, if there are cracks in it, if there are tzedakim or crevices, we have the same concern. That although the boiling water will purge the flavor out of the body of the marble, granite, or wood, but if there's any physical residue that's in the crack or in a crevice, Hag'ala will not work for that. And therefore, the rule for Hag'ala is that wherever there are cracks, tzedakim, gumos, holes, and similarly those things that have little tiny holes, like the most common thing is a dishwasher drain, that would be a problem to kasher. Now, sometimes you have a dishwasher drain that has larger holes. Well, that's okay, because it's not a din in a drain. It's not a din in holes. It depends how small they are. Obviously, greater the holes on graters are very small. That's certainly a problem. And you have to sort of evaluate if they're big enough that on a kitchen drain, a kitchen sink drain, they're big enough that you could be rest assured that you cleaned out any residue that might be caught in those holes, then you could do it. But if they're too small to do that carefully, then you would not be able to do regular Hag'ala, and I would advise you either don't use the drain during the few days of Pesach, or go to Variety Central and buy another drain for $5 that you could use on Pesach. Another area where Hag'ala will not work is that if the item is rusty. If the item is rusty, it's hela chaluda. If it's rusty, that also is another situation where regular Hag'ala will not work. We'll finish off with one more important kula regarding Hag'ala, and that is, people ask me all the time, when I want to kasher this, I want to kasher that, they always say it has to be a Pesach tikka pot, right? Which makes life difficult, because you want to kasher and let your kitchen be clean before you bring out the Pesach tikka pots. So that halalacha is that is not correct. That is wrong. When you kasher, again, I'm not talking about kashering on Erev Pesach, once chametz becomes aser, the halachas of hechsher kelim, of kashering, of Hag'ala change dramatically. So as long as we stay away from the shas, once it's iser chametz on Erev Pesach, anytime before that, today, tomorrow, next week, before Friday, then the halacha is, as long as the pot hasn't been used for 24 hours, it doesn't matter if it's a milchka pot, if it's a fleshka pot, if it's a chametz tikka pot, if it's a Pesach tikka pot, you could use a chametz tikka pot to kasher for Pesach. You could use a milchka tikka pot to kasher for fleshos. It doesn't matter. As long as the pot hasn't been used for 24 hours, and there's a good amount of water in there, which typically there is, so you don't have to be worried about what the nature of the pot that's doing the kashering, or the item that you're kashering. That doesn't matter as long as neither pot has been used, neither item has been used, in 24 hours, and there's a good amount of water that you're dealing with in the pot, for reasons that are beyond the scope of this slot.
Yeah.